Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
Last week we began a new message series called Renew. And I know that Pastor Sean had a message prepared. He didn't get to share that message. He pretty much preached on communion last Sunday. But I think it was we needed the communion, the breaking of the bread, the parting of the bread to really enter a season. And whenever I really sense a witness in my spirit that there is a word for this house now, it's the time for you to embrace renewal. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. I know that in the beginning of the year, Pastor Sean said a word in this house saying that this year could have felt like the hardest of years. But on the other side of the hardest of years, there's a great promise. There's a great harvest if you persevere, if you continue, if you press on. And I just feel like there is this word we need to pursue in your prayers this week. Say, God, renew. What does renew mean to me in this season? You more than anybody else knows what's going on in your hearts. This week marked the middle of the year. Halfway mark. And I know that when halfway marks come, you have two choices. One, saying, oh man, I have such a long way until the end. Or you can renew your strengths and say, hey, you know what? If you look at the Bible, the story of Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the city, the fortress around, when it was on the middle point that they were the most discouraged, and Nehemiah had to call them, hey, let's renew our strengths, and they changed the strategy. Maybe the strategy that you embraced in the beginning of the year is not really working for you. What can be shifted in this time so that we can embrace what God desires for us? You know, this word renew in the English definition is to make new again, to restore to an original condition, to revive, to strengthen, to replace what has become worn out. And many times we come into moments that we just feel like that, worn out, I'm tired. I'm fighting that thing that I'm praying for. I'm not seeing movement. I'm not seeing shift. Or even, I don't even have the strength anymore to pray and to seek God for this. But let me tell you, this is not the end for you. God has more. God has renewal for every single one in this room. In the Old Testament Hebrew, this word is kadash, meaning make new, renew, repair, restore, and rebuild. We find that word in a psalm that the psalmist prays, Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me, God, a pure heart, O God, and renew. The word renew there is kadash, a steadfast spirit within me. Notice that David wasn't asking for a new spirit. I know sometimes when things are not working, we just ask, oh, give me a new way, give me something new. No, he was asking for a renewal. If God placed this thing in front of me right now, it's because he knew the purpose. He knew the capacity. And he's writing this after he just literally messed up with Bathsheba in the Bible. This is where the psalm, the context of the psalm is being written out after he felt like he messed up. And so many times when we mess up or when we're not doing the things that we know that we're supposed to be doing, may shame come, guilt come, but I want to encourage you, even in these moments, to say, come, God, renew my spirit. I know what you called me for. Yes, sometimes we mess up. Everybody in this room, myself, I'm probably the first one here to say, but I want to encourage you, God has a renewal for you. When I was praying this week for this message, by the way, Pastor Sean is in Brazil, so he's receiving from an amazing land, the country where I'm from. He's speaking at a local church that me and my wife, we came from at Zion this morning. Two experiences they have, I think 5 experiences per Sunday. They canceled the afternoon ones because Brazil is playing in the World Cup, so it makes sense. So they had to shift a few things, but Pastor Sean is speaking twice this morning in Zion in Brazil, so he sent his love to the house. He misses you guys, and I don't know why they don't ever send me together with Pastor Sean to Brazil. I need to contact my friends there. But anyways, as I was praying for this morning, I felt a word. I kept seeing John 15 in front of me, that whole chapter. And I was praying, God, what do you want to renew? And this passage kept coming back to me. And I want to read it to you here, the first five verses. Read the entire chapter at home. Meditate on it this week. For time's sake, I'm only going to read the first five verses here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruits, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruits. You are already clean because of the word which I had spoken over you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither you can unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Do you know what nothing means? Nothing. The first thing that we see here is that Jesus could have used any example of any tree that he created, anything that he created, but he chose a vine. Do you know why? I don't have the exact answer, but I have, based on the study that I did for this week, some things that characteristics of a vine, which I believe why Jesus chose that and not other trees that he had mentioned, like he mentioned in scriptures. Vines were one of Israel's most valuable plants. If you look in scripture, grape, new wine represents joy, it represents prosperity, it represents God's blessing, but it also, vines represents long-term investments and inheritance. Unlike other trees or other crops, vine warts takes years to mature. It's not something in a moment, but it speaks about years. And a farmer that is planting a vineyard is not thinking of this year's harvest. He's thinking about what? The future generations. He has vision for the future. Now, something interesting about a vine is that it exists for one purpose only, the fruits. It's different than, let's say, oak trees that you could use the wood to build something, to build things, to be your deck in your backyard, to do a nice fence, or any other trees. The vineyards are only for the purpose of a fruit, which has nothing to do, that vineyards have nothing to do with appearance. It has to do with something that God put in you, which is, and in every single one in this house, the potential to produce fruits. Everyone in this room has potential for fruits. Vines thrive under very specific conditions. They need good soil. Healthy vines require soil that drains well. Too much water suffocates the roots, and too little water stresses the plants. And I always think of this parable when I think about church. You cannot only be here in a receiving position, just receiving, receiving, receiving. It's fresh word coming. You're always asking for something new. I know that's part of the culture nowadays of just scrolling up. I need my dopamine. I need something new, new contents, new things, new revelations. But if you're only getting flooded with water, you won't thrive. Or if you're not seeking the presence of God, you'll be dried out. Vines, another great characteristics of vines is that they must be connected. A branch in itself has no independent life. It's useless. The moment that is cut off, life stops flowing from it. The leaves can continue to be green for a few days maximum, and then, boom, death has become. And then the fifth and most important one, I say, is that pruning in vines is essential. What do I mean by that? Cutting and pruning it. It's vital for them to continue to produce fruit. Otherwise, they can continue to grow, but the ratio of producing fruits and the sweetness of the fruit and everything else won't be as effective if you're not constantly pruning it. What causes a vine to fail? A disease can cause being dry, a fungus, or what applies to our lives many times, broken connection with God, broken connection with the people that we have around our lives. I want to go back to this verse 2 real quick here. It says, every branch in me who does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that even may bear more fruits. And then jumping to verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. This passage here in verse 2, in verse 5, talks about four different groups that we find here. People that don't give fruit, people that give fruit, people who give fruit and embrace the pruning to be able to give more fruits, and people that do all of that, plus they continue to abide and they produce much fruit. So you can give fruits, you can give more fruit, or you can give much fruits. And I believe that God is asking us for this season to do not only be content in just producing fruits. He has more. I think so many times we settle for way less than his expectation for our lives, than what he has. Don't settle for little. God is calling you for more in this season. So the first step is to diagnose ourselves as we read these verses and say, which one of these four groups of people that John 15 is mentioning am I in this season? Am I not bearing any fruits? Am I bearing a little bit of fruits? God is inviting you to look at those passages. And of course, we don't like the consequence of the first group. It says, every branch that in me does not bear fruit, what happens? Takes away. The fire comes in a way that we don't like because it's coming to take out. And if there is something that we, as God's creation, don't like, is not to feel included in something. Have you ever been that? Oh, there was a birthday party and you're not invited and you were hoping and you were expecting to be invited and you felt excluded from that place. Or let's say a new initiative in your job began and they had somebody that is going to lead this special project and you're not included in that process. Whatever it may be, we as humans don't like to be left out. We were born and created with a sense of belonging. We are part of a vine. And if we don't feel like we're going to belong, what happens? We have this feeling of, you know, death, separation, nobody likes me. So this morning, I want to quickly navigate with you because I don't believe that that's what God desires for anybody here. If you are here this morning, you have a place in the kingdom of God. Your life is important. He created you to lead. He created you to flourish. He created you to walk into the promises that he has for your life. He wants to see you bear fruits and multiply. I know that the Bible can be complicated, but if you look at the message, it's the same message a pattern. He created us to be fruitful and multiply. Jesus came and say, go and multiply and make disciples of all nations. The message has not changed. He put in us the power for multiplication. And I want to encourage us this morning on something that I'm calling the path of renewal, the path of finding our renewal this morning. I believe that God has for every one of you. You don't have to be tired to need renewal. The word in Romans says that Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about a daily renewal of our minds, a daily renewal of our perspectives. It's so easy, like Liz was sharing in her giving encouragement this morning, to be focusing on the lack, to be focusing on the things that we don't have in this season, rather than focusing on what really matters. We constantly need a shift, a mindset shift. And Jesus modeled the same way. Yes, he was experiencing amazing miracles by God. Yes, he was experiencing a move by God. But he was continuously going back to that place of renewing his faith, his hope in the presence of God. So in that path of renewal, I want to give you three quick things that I find as lessons in this passage. Number one is reconnect. If you're taking notes, right, reconnect. Verse 1 and verse 4 of John 15 says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you, verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The easiest example that I can illustrate on this is that nowadays, if we have a power outage or if you have Rogers or Bell is down, you can't really work, right? We feel kind of like useless. I'm thankful that we live in Russell, that we haven't had a power outage in so long. I don't want to jinx it. But it's so bad when power comes down because all our work nowadays, it's connected via the internet. You feel limited in your reach. You feel limited in what you can do. You have now to use your phones for the purpose it was created, which is to call people and not to text and not to be on social media and not to go places. It limits your ability of reach, right? Because everybody agrees, right? Nobody uses this to call anybody, right? Very few people, right? But we use it for work. We use it for so many things. If we don't have internet connection, if we're not connected, there's nothing we can do. And that's what God is saying here. If you're not connected to me, you won't be able to produce much. Yes, there may be very little things you can do, but not much can be done. At the end of the day, you will feel that. I shared from this platform before, what I like to call a creation example, the fish and trees, not fish and chips if you're hungry. Everything that God created, he created by his word. And some of the things, when I use the example of fish and trees, he didn't say, oh, let there be fish. What did he say in the Bible? Let the water produce fish. Let the earth grow the trees. He outsourced that creation. He spoke into a specific situation. And what happens, because he was painting a beautiful lesson, if you remove a fish out of water, what's going to happen? The fish will die. If you remove the tree from its source and from the ground, it dies. And many times we only think of heaven as our destination. Okay, I can live my life and one day I'll be in heaven. But the reality is that different than fish and trees, we are part of the first business meeting in heaven. Holy Spirit, Jesus, God turned to Jesus and Holy Spirit and says, let us make man in our image. And everything that he created through his voice. But us, he got it from the ground, the dust, and he made man and he made woman in his image. And what happens is if we are disconnected from our source, we are dead. There's no way to have life flowing from us. So you can try all your techniques of reconnecting, but if you don't go to the source, you're dead. You toss it away. How many charged your phone last night or this morning before coming to church? What happens if your phone's battery died? Did you throw off and buy a new phone? No, right? You have one of these devices here that you can plug into a wall, right? And you get recharged. You don't go buying a new phone. What if I told you that everyone in this room here, you have the world's greatest charger, the power bank. But if you never plugged your phone in, what's going to happen? This has power. This has potential. But if we don't have a connection, useless, useless. Jesus came to build the way, and imagine the plug being God, to rebuild that connection with the Father for you. God wants everyone, and that cannot depend on the person sitting next to you. You have to go for yourself and connect with the Father. Because verse 5 says, for without me, you can do nothing. In other versions, apart from me, you can do nothing. The branch in itself cannot renew itself because it has no life. We have the breath of life from God, and we need to be connected to the source. It was very interesting as I was preparing this message. There was a few situations that throughout the week got me discouraged. I'm not going to lie. I'm human. I face my challenges. And one morning I woke up with a text from a friend of mine in Brazil. And he was saying, for me it was super special because when I worked at this company before moving to Connecticut and then Canada, I had the privilege of working with an individual that was fighting, that was a homosexual. And God put me in his life and I was able to share the gospel with him. Actually, he grew up in a home where his mom was a believer and always prayed for him. He said, I struggled with all my life with that, and I don't know what to do. I've even asked God, because I know my mom prayed for me, to take my life because I can't deal with it. It's stronger than me. And for many, I had the privilege of working in that company for 5 months, but during those 5 months, I had the privilege of praying for him and encouraging him and continue to share the gospel. And then I was saying, God is calling you back home. And then this Tuesday, and throughout the years that I've been here, almost 9 years, he has texted me throughout the year. We don't talk often, but this week he said, I just shared an hour testimony at my church, and here's the link for you to watch. And you're mentioned in this minutes. And it was so powerful. It gave me such an awesome perspective and a fresh renewal of hope, you know, on those things that we go through and we're able, because the reality is that everything that God has placed in your life and everything that he's equipping with you can't stop as the experience is over, as you walk out of the lobby. It has to flow throughout the week. It has to flow to touch the lives of the people that you are connected with. You have such an amazing pulpit in front of you. And maybe you're asking God for a promotion, or you're asking God for this and that. But have you been faithful with what God placed in front of you, with the resources, with the people that he has connected you with? You can be a source of leading someone to find connection. And your reach, that's the beauty of a vine. It reaches places that Pastor Sean, Pastor Michelle can't reach, I can't reach, Harley can't reach, leaders in this house can't reach. Everyone in this room has a capacity of reaching. And we need to understand the urge that is important for us. Otherwise, guys, we can die and we can become dry. That's why Paul in Romans, we read that in the pre-experience prayer, says, I urge you. I urge you means to call people into their purpose. Because Paul knows a branch has either, he has only two outcomes. Either it's going to be burned or it's going to bear fruits. There's nothing else. Number two, real quick. After reconnection comes refinements. Refine. God wants to refine in you. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruits. I know that we have a hard time with pruning. Nobody likes pruning. I was even reading on vines this week and studying a little bit. It hurts the plant, right? It is a hurt. It is an injury on the plants. But it's able to recover from that. And I think that so many of us fear pruning because we think it as punishments. We're being punished for something that we didn't do. But God has a bigger picture in saying, hey, no, you know what? I see your potential. But unless I prune you, these things that are in your life that are distractions, or the need preparation, you won't be able to reach certain areas. You can't experience and know that God is love if you never experience His love. You can't know that God is power if you were not in a situation that you needed power to get you out of that situation and you saw Him move. And most times, those situations are situations that hurts. That there is pain, that there are things that we don't really want to go through. But He is a good Father. He knows that unless He exposes you to some things, unless you embrace what He has for you, you won't reach your capacity. But the problem is that I shared this from the platform before. I got saved when I was 13. I'm 40. I've been walking with Jesus for that many years. I've seen many people on the first challenge to simply give up. Can't take it. Can't take any criticisms. I can't take a word of advice if I don't agree with it. If I don't think it makes sense, people don't like to be confronted. But if they yet had a different heart, a humble heart, you know what? Even if that person, the leader, is not right, and I embrace that, I am going to see growth on the other side. You have to have your heart open not to be offended when God, with the people that He placed around your life, come and confront you. We can't give up on the first challenge when it's first hard. Or when you're here on the setup team and didn't show up on the time that you were supposed to show up. And for that, the entire team suffered and forgot and didn't get stuff done for the morning. And a leader comes to you and say, hey, what happened there? I'm just using practical example, but I've seen people take it away just by one confrontation. We can't be weak. And sometimes the weakness is a sign of you being disconnected. Because if you knew you were connected for a higher purpose than your own feelings being hurt, imagine how many times that the disciples hurt Jesus' feelings. And the other way around too. Jesus confronted their feelings, confronted the way that they did things. Teaching a fisherman how to fish. I know this. I've been doing it all my life. I've been doing it all night. Yes, you know. But have you tried this? And so many times it's in a simple thing. And if we just decide to embrace, you will find refinement. You will find something new. You will find refreshing coming. I love Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Any moment in your life, write that verse. You're going to be offended. You're going to be disciplined. I know we, with our parents in this room, I know that we all know here that our children doesn't like to be disciplined, but we know the value of discipline in changing and setting them up for success and not allowing them to do the things that they think it's best for them to do it. Discipline always produces a big harvest. And renewal is like that. It's not simply adding something new in our lives. It's about removing what hinders life in our lives. The Greek word pruned means to cleanse, to purify, to trim. Pruning can look like letting go of unhealthy habits, surrendering misplaced priorities, releasing old mindsets, allowing God to refine our character. Sometimes what feels like a punishment, what feels like something that God is doing that you're not liking, can mean on the other side, if you persevere, a preparation for you to experience great fruitfulness in your life. And for you to be able to, that you've endured the pain when you face somebody that has gone through the same situation as you, you can be such a powerful tool for them to encourage and say, if God did for me, He's going to do it for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And we have to fight because this is the generation that we are in. Even though you may not consider yourself part of this generation, people are quitting so fast on the first hardship, and God doesn't want us that. And to finalize here, last point, remain. You know, reconnecting or connecting gets you to the vine. Refine prepares you for fruits, but it is remaining that keeps you there. Being consistent. That's one thing that I pray for our country, that people with church, with people approaching God, they would be consistent. It honestly saddens my heart that people that put, I'm not judgment-free zone here, but that don't make the house of God a priority in their lives, that don't let God to rule their agenda for them. Listen, you can find always excuses. You can find good things. You can justify. Oh, have my son's basketball sports are good. They're healthy. The word that came to my life as I was praying for this morning was 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are permitted, but not all things are of benefits. All things are permitted for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Let God master your agenda, your schedule in this season. Understand that not everything is beneficial. Yes, there may be good things. I'm not saying, but I think that we are very good at creating distractions. And you can justify. Honestly, you can justify, oh, I was just relaxing. I was just connecting with my phone a little bit. But when you balance out, especially, I think most phones do that, look at your screen time this week. That should challenge your faith. How much time did you spend connected to one device? And how much more time you could have spent? And I'm like, I'm included in this, guys. I want to say that I'm speaking for myself first, because I look at this and I say, how can I get better at it? And we need to be intentional. We can complain, we can justify, we can bring amazing excuses for what you're not experiencing more of God in your life. But are you stopping to connect? Are you abiding? Are you spending time and letting Him rule the priorities of your day? Not only on Sundays, on your day life, tomorrow morning when He comes, Monday comes, and you had a rough night. Those are the moments that you're going to be challenged. to continue to abide, to continue to stay. I love this, like, honestly, I've been reading this passage of, like, John 15, but also 1 Corinthians 6:12. There is a connection there, because Jesus is saying, abide in me, and Paul is saying, don't be mastered by anything but Jesus. They're speaking the same thing, just in different approaches. They're the two sides of the same coin here. Because the reality is that if we abide in Christ, we will bear fruits. But if we decide to abide in all the circumstances that we create, all the distractions, we will produce anxiety. It is proven that we are living in the most, the highest disease, or the highest fight for our society right nowadays is anxiety. And this is a big factor contributing to it. But if we abide in Jesus, we are going to receive fresh life. But that requires your time. That requires your intentionality. That requires what we just experienced before this message. Sometimes, just gotta sit there and wait. We're good at criticizing our kids, right? They're always asking the car dried, are we there yet? Are we there yet? But sometimes we don't have the same grace to pause with God, you know? We're just like, want to go to the next thing and next thing and next thing and next thing. And just, we don't have the grace to sit quiet and just wait on Him. It says those that wait on me will renew their strengths.